Okay, good afternoon, and welcome to all of you. Let's start with our presentation. I would start this time just reminding you our strategic plan that we presented 14th of November, just to give you an indication how we are moving accordingly to the plan. As you remember, we announced in terms of message at that time that we want to be a rock-solid European commercial bank, and we gave four major pillars of our plan. Balance sheet structure was one, as you can see on page four. Simplification and cost management, business refocusing, and turnaround Italy, that will be the next slide. What I want to give you here as a message is that in the first quarter, as you know, we have completed successfully our 7.5 billion euro capital increase. This was subscribed 99.8%, so a great success considering also the difficult times we went to the market. As you can see from the slide in front of you, when we look to the balance sheet structure, the target substantially has been achieved. We have added 157 basis points to our core tier 1. Then we had the tender offer on a tier 1 and tier 2 instruments successfully completed with an additional 10 bps core tier 1. And there are offer portfolio with a consequent reduction of risk-weighted assets is on schedule. So on the first pillar, we are definitely moving according to expectation. Simplification and cost management, the ones that are familiar with the Italian situation, they know that we had the introduction of the new law on pension, the new pension reforms. This has created some problem in terms of FTE reduction. We had a delay substantially of the exit of people from 2012-13 to 2014-15. Nevertheless, the negative impact that inevitably comes from this delay has been substantially almost entirely offset by one, lower integration cost, two, a national contract renewed at the beginning of the year that is less penalizing, let's say, versus what was our assumption in the 5 years plan. And finally, new initiatives in HR that are all together, as I said, compensating the cost coming from the delay in the exit of people. So also in terms of cost management, notwithstanding this issue, we are on track. On business refocusing, good news from non-deposit ratio in CEE. As you know, it's improving. 109 is the ratio for CEE, 87% in Poland, so also in this case on schedule. Same for risk-weighted asset management in CIB. We'll see more details later on, but year-on-year we have reached a quite impressive decrease, 19 billion of risk-weighted assets. The fourth pillar was Italy, Italy turnaround. Of course, in this case, as you can appreciate from the slide, the numbers are quite positive. Year-on-year revenues are up 6.3%. Here, this is the commercial bank here in Italy, what we call the 1-4-C perimeter. So revenues up 6.3%, costs are down 3.3%, gross operating income up to a massive 20.1%, and loan loss provision down 3.1%. All of this results in a net operating profit of 1.1 billion versus 120 million 1 year ago, with a profit before taxes of almost 600 million euros versus a negative result of 177 in 2010. Cost income is improving to 53.7%. So also in Italy we are quite okay. let's go now to the real Q4 and full year result. First of all, I have to underline that the group returned to profit after the loss in Q3, despite a number of one-offs, principally the Greek bond impairment for 70 million euros and 63 million provision for severance pay, both net of taxes. Without this one-off, the net income would have been 247 million, that compares with the 321 million of 1 year ago. So net 114 without one-off, 247, in any case below the result of Q4 2010, reflecting the difficult adverse economic environment. The Q4 has been supported by stable core revenues, decreasing costs, lower provision, and better trading income. In terms of cost of risk, it dropped from 131 basis points to 106, so good improvement from the spike of Q3 when we provisioned single names, if you remember, in the third quarter. The underlying full-year net income came to 1.1 billion net of one-off versus 1.5 billion of 1 year ago, again reflecting the difficult macroeconomic conditions, especially in the second half of 2011. And in spite of this difficult condition, another good news is that UniCredit successfully executed the 2011 funding program, which led to a better loans deposit ratio. This again, I think, is quite important considering the market condition of the third and fourth quarters. In terms of 2012 funding plan, as of today, we have already done 30% at group level and almost 36% for Italy. Substantially, if we were to include the anti-ERO funding, our needs would be more than covered already now. We will continue to go, by the way, anyway, to the wholesale market, as we have done also recently with the 1.5 billion senior bond, where we got orders for more than 5 billion from 360 different international investors, showing that the group paper still creates still some appetite. So we continue to go to the market, but in theory, today we're already covered for all our funding needs. Liquid assets have been actively managed. Q4, we saw a drop of 10 billion ex Basel II impact. So at the end of the fourth quarter, we have in core tier 1, the stands at 8.4%. Including a capital increase is about 10%. We are also very much above the 9% required by EBA. And if we look to the common equity tier 1 target, we are in line with our expectation for 2012. I can also add that if I look at the first result of this quarter, the activity seems progressing very well with very good results. Clearly, it's too early to say this will continue for the full year, but results so far are quite encouraging. Let's now go quickly through the various slides. Page 8 is just the net profit, the net operating profit, as I said, 114 is the net, 247, not including one-off. So, the full year stands at 3.7 billion of net operating profit, with a decrease of 3.7% versus previous year. Decrease, after all, manageable, that proves that the group is resilient to the adverse market condition. The quarter is at level of 800 million euros. Slide 9, net operating profit breakdown. Here I will say that all the indicators are heading in the right direction. As you see, revenues are up, costs are decreasing, and loan loss provision are down significantly. Also, Poland and CEE, even though impacted by effect, shows positive results year-on-year. The negative effect comes mostly to Russia for loan loss provision. We had a return to normality, let's say, in Russia after a very exceptionally good third quarter. But the region is going up 22%, 22.6% year-on-year. That shows how important it is for us to invest in Central and Eastern Europe. As you see, the opposite in Western Europe, where there was a decline of 29%, partially affected by due to the market conditions. Total revenues, slide 10. They have been increasing since third quarter, and the growth comes mostly from trading revenues. But I think it's very important to underline and to note that the core revenues remain substantially stable throughout the whole year. So in spite, again, of conditions very different quarter after quarter, the core revenues are substantially at the same level, and this is promising should the market come back. Inside revenues, let's have a look to net interest. Here we start to see, excluding effect, the first positive impact of loan repricing. It is helping to offset the higher cost of funding that we have seen in the last quarter. An important point is that even though Western Europe is almost flat, Italy was up quarter on quarter. So this case is Italy that is offsetting poorer results in Germany and Austria. Also in this case, I think, considering the difficulty that we had in Italy, is a good news. CEE and Poland have been impacted by regional effects. Without this, it would have been up 1.8% quarter on quarter. We put a slide 12 about Italy, where you can see how the repricing action very much helped in offsetting the higher cost of funding. And you can see how assets and liabilities spread improved over the last two quarters. So as you see, spreads are improving both in terms of loans and deposits. Important is the trend. Loans are slightly down, but more important, deposits are stable. I would say up if we consider also certificates of deposits. And again, considering the tension in the market, this is another strong confirmation our network and customer base is solid. So overall deposits up, network bonds as well up, even though still we have a level of penetration very low, 7% on total financial assets, partially compensating a decrease on wholesale funding. So I would say that we can really rely on a strong network also in Italy. Volumes at the group level, we see loans slightly down quarter on quarter, deposits opposite up. All in all, the loan deposit ratio, as I said already, is improving. The trend in Switzerland, in Europe and Poland is positive both in loans, where we are still see decent growth, confirming that the region is still expanding. At the same time, we have seen a growth in deposits. Fees and commission, back to growth again after the third quarter, in particular the financing service segment, that is up 16.5% in the quarter and 10% year-on-year. Driven in part by Italy again, which shown an improved cross-selling quarter on quarter. So the cross-selling is generating good return. Opposite, investment services suffer from lower upfront fees due to market turmoil. They were down 8.2% versus first quarter and 9% year-on-year. Was in this case, CEE and Poland slightly up at constant FX rate. I'm moving now to page 15, where we have good news in terms of cost. There is a significant reduction of 7.6% quarter-on-quarter. Overall, operating costs are down 2.1%. The 7.6% is referring to staff expenses, so staff expenses minus 7.6%. All in all, the whole costs are down 2.1% quarter-on-quarter and substantially flat over the year. Also in this case, partially the trend is negatively influenced by interest in Europe, where we still are investing. I think we have opened this year more or less 150 branches, and this period is impacting partially on the cost trend, even though in this case, other than cost, I will think about investment for the growth. The overall cost income is deteriorating a bit from 58.8% to 61.4% year-on-year, but recovering from the third quarter. FTE slightly down with different trends, in particular in Synthesis in Europe, we have countries as Turkey, where we are still opening branches, we are still hiring people, and countries where for different situations, more criticalities, we are decreasing the number of people, like in Kazakhstan and Ukraine. In total, is 1,650 people less year-on-year. We have seen a decrease of the reduction of people in the fourth quarter, but we have a good start in the new year, 2012. I think, if I remember correctly, that we already decreased 700 people starting from the 1st of January. Cost of risk is down 19.3% quarter-on-quarter, is down 12.6% year-on-year, it's a good improvement. So we move from 131 bps Q3 to 106 this quarter. The quarterly has been primarily impacted in positive by the decrease in cost of risk in CIB in Italy. As you can see, we have quite good progress. Still, in Europe, we have an increase of cost of risk, but I think it's not alarming. It's, as I said already, Russia. Russia was releasing provision in the third quarter for exceptional reason. It's back to normal, and this is impacting on the final number for the region. Slide 18 on asset quality. Gross impaired loans still up, slightly up, to 72.5 billion versus 71.6 in September 11. The coverage ratio is down, as you can see, from 45.5% to 44.6%. Here we have the effect of write-off much higher in this quarter versus the previous one. As you know, when you write off a loan, it's 100% covered by provisions. So this is impacting overall for an equivalent of 117 basis points. So without this one-off, the coverage ratio would have been substantially in line with the previous one, actually a little bit better, even though it's fair to say that it would have been with 23 basis points more in terms of gross impaired loans, so from 72.5 to 72.7. But the coverage ratio is impacted by the write-off of the quarter. Slide 19, I'm for sure I will get question from yourself at the end of the presentation. Here the picture shows once again that Italy remains challenging in terms of asset quality. As you can see, gross NPL loans are increasing, reaching 48.1 billion, compensated at group level by from a good trend, especially in Germany and in Central Eastern Europe. The coverage ratio you already explained and is affecting in particular Italy. You are used to the slide number 20. It gives you the long-term perspective about our quality of asset and cost of risk. I would say that the main message here is that the net addition are well below the 2009 and 2010 average, despite of the difficulties and the turbulent, let's say, economic environment of the last quarter. So the trend is positive with in spite of the difficult situation. Let's go now to a few slides about balance sheet structure, 21. I would not comment too much. Total assets are down from 950 billion to 926 in December. Important, I think, is the leverage ratio that goes below 20 if we include the right issue. So I think it's a very good level that makes UniCredit probably as one of the less or best leveraged banks in Europe. Staying again on the balance sheet structure, also in this case I will focus on the net interbank position. As you can see, from December 10 to December 11, there is a big increase from 41 billion to 75. But substantially, the increase is exclusively due to the 30 billion exposure in ECB. So what is the real interbank position is a stable. To this, we have to add the 30 billion exposure in ECB. Two words about the medium long-term funding plan, page 23. It has been quite large. In 2011, 42 billion, completely and successfully done. In 2012, we are expecting a need for 31 billion. As I said, considering what has been already done, 30% at the group level, 36% for Italy plus LTRO, substantially we have already achieved this level. Nevertheless, we will continue to be in the market through covered bond and network bond. As I said, here we have a good penetration. We have a channel that is can be activated anytime with 7% only of network bonds on total financial assets. So we don't feel particularly pressure, let's say, in terms of funding. We are now working on another bond that probably will come to the market pretty soon. Capital position. First of all, risk-weighted asset. If we exclude the regulatory impact, so Basel 2.5, risk-weighted asset would have been down quarter on quarter by almost 10 billion, thanks to a proactive management of our balance sheet and better risk-weighted asset efficiency actions. So 10 billion would have been. The Basel 2.5 impact on market risk weighted asset was almost 20 billion. Nevertheless, it has been partially compensated by reduction, as you can see, on credit risk. The plan to reduce risk-weighted asset accordingly to what we have announced on our strategic plan mid of November is ongoing and is on schedule. Important also the composition of risk-weighted asset, pretty well balanced, as you can see, between Italy, Germany and Central Europe and Poland. Capital, With the Basel 2.5 effect, we had a negative impact of 37 bps. So the total, the Core Tier 1 is down from 874 in September to 840. 3 bps comes from organic capital generation. If we add the 157 bps coming from the right issue, we reach 9.97, Basel 2.5, so Core Tier 1. It is a quite good, I would say, level. As I said already, EBA is over, so we are by far over 9%, and we are on track to reach our target in terms of Basel 3, so 9% already in 2012. Basel 3 clearly fully phasing. I would stop here the presentation just to sum up. Since we spoke, let's say 3 months ago, we have successfully concluded our 7.5 billion right issue. We have now a very sound and sustainable balance sheet. We have a strong funding and liquidity position, I'm saying so without hesitation. And we have taken serious action in terms of cost management and reduction of FTE. Chief refocusing is on schedule. With, I would say, better than expected runoff and liquid asset management. And again, the Italian turnaround is ongoing with a good return, especially from repricing, cost control, and declining loan loss provision. So thank you for listening to me, and now we open the session for Q&A, for questions.
The first question is from Ms. Natasha Blackman of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead, madam.
Hello, thank you. I just have a question on funding. You mentioned that UniCredit is still planning on further accessing the market this year. Could you give any color on how much senior unsecured you aim to raise in the public market, please? Thank you.
Good afternoon. So we are planning to tap the market in the next few months with unsecured. As you remember, when we met for the industrial plan, we clearly stated that we were not in the position to project for 2012 senior issuance since there was not enough clarity about the market development. Now we see improvement, and as you have seen, we have already come up with 1.5 billion, which resulted in a successful issuance. Now, we will see in the next few months if the market is offering opportunities, to which extent we can exploit this opportunity.
And on top of this, we have to keep in mind that in any case, we have the possibility to cover our need almost entirely also with covered bonds or network bonds.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Mr. Matteo Ramenghi of UBS. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good afternoon to everyone, and thanks for a very clear presentation. I have only a couple of questions. First, if I look at page 4 in your presentation, it seems to me that there is a further upside available to UniCredit in terms of cost management in Western Europe, ex-Italy, where you already have initiatives in place. Is there anything that we should expect on this front in the coming quarters? And secondly, and surely linked to the previous question, in Q4, HEB lost money in CIB, in retail, and also in private banking, although small numbers. I assume that the HEB group, however, has reported a profit, although they haven't released the press release yet for the fourth quarter, given the income they generate in their excess capital. But any color on that would be useful, and also any color you could share about the potential to reallocate capital more efficiently within the group and perhaps to achieve more savings in Germany. Thank you.
Starting from HVB, saying, if you look at the commercial business, HVB is pretty stable, I would say. In Germany, there is a completely different situation compared to Italy in terms of loans. For example, growth is negative because of the fact that companies are very cash rich, so we are working a lot on cross-selling, especially on CIB, that still represents 80% of the business of the company. So commercial business is quite okay. Also on the retail side, we see some improvement. Obviously on the trading business, Q3 and Q4 has been not positive, and this is entirely booked at financial group level in Germany. So overall, let me also say that the first quarter has been, the first half has been very good, and the second was expected to be less buoyant than the first one. Good again in Germany is also the cost of risk that is pretty stable, definitely under control, and also looking forward doesn't create, we think, any particular issue. Cost in Germany, we are on track with what we have announced on our strategic plan, so a reduction of people ongoing. You know that the market here is more rigid compared to other markets. Everything has to be agreed with unions. But the plan of reduction in investment banking and in the corporate center of the bank, what we call FOR project, is ongoing, is on track. Page 4, M&A CE. Let me confirm what, again, we have indicated in the strategic plan, so some countries where we are investing, other countries where we may consider to rethink our presence. We are not for sure derogating from the plan. We are trying to be as much as possible proactive. The M&A market is not yet, let's say, particularly aggressive. We are now completing our capital increase, so we can look to the opportunities without the need to do it in 6 months, but we are very determined to go in the direction we have indicated by the plan.
Thank you.
The next question is from Ms. Azura Guelfi of Citigroup. Please go ahead, madam.
Hi, good afternoon. I have a couple of questions. One is on the asset quality. Can you comment how do you see the outlook of asset quality in Italy and in Germany? And also, looking at the number in detail, I've seen that the Italian retail business has been quite up quarter on quarter, while instead on the corporate, the fourth quarter seems quite lower than the run rate of the first three quarters, excluding the one-off that we had in the third quarter, while instead Germany had a reverse as well. And also on the LTRO, could you comment how are you planning to use the LTRO funds, and if you can provide us the number of the Italian government exposure that you had at the fourth quarter and also the recent development in the Q1. Thank you.
Well, when we talk about asset quality, I will start with Germany because it's much more easy. As I said, in Germany, the level is very low, I think. I don't remember correctly the number, but it's around 30-35 basis point. And again, we were in Germany 1 week ago. We went through the portfolio. We are not expecting deterioration in the portfolio overall, a corporate plus retail, clearly corporate prevention retail. So the situation seems stable. In Italy, we have, as you have seen also in the presentation, the gross impaired loans keeps growing, even though not with the speed of the past, but still is not fixed. If I look the first 2-3 months of this year, the good trend in terms of LLP is confirmed for a while. So we don't see yet the effect of the negative GDP growth that we are expecting this quarter. We don't see yet the effect on our portfolio, but we can expect the pressure in terms of cost of risk, for sure. Our ambition and target is to compensate the growth with a more aggressive and rational, let's say, approach on the whole area of restructuring, recovery, and so forth, where we have invested a lot in order to be much more effective than in the past. So our budget is still confirming a decrease of the cost of risk, even though, again, we have to be very careful because we will see what will be the real GDP growth, will be negative, how much is not clear yet. There are clear differences between companies that are pure domestic companies that are suffering and companies that are exporting that are still in a good trend. Just keep in mind, by the way, that three-quarters of the business of UniCredit are in North Italy, that in this moment is suffering less, especially because most of the companies are exporters. Retail business is up. I will ask Roberto Nicastro to comment a bit. But before coming back to retail, LTRO, LTRO we have done, we have a total exposure of 26 billion, of which 20 with state guarantee and 6 without. Plus we have another 3 or 4 billion of short-term exposure to ECB. We don't plan to buy Italian government bonds. We have today an exposure of 37.2 billion. Maybe can change 10% more or less, but substantially we will be around this level. So no investment in treasury bonds massively. We will try to utilize this money especially for lending, good lending, clearly, because I think that we have a possibility to go in this direction. It's not a case that if we look at the Italian portfolio, we have seen an increase of 70% of the volumes year on year of the first three rated classes of customers, and a decrease quite substantial on the other higher classes of rated customers. So having liquidity now, we can choose substantially the good customer to lend to them with margin, but in my opinion, it's not even better than treasury bonds currently. I think also that we will be probably in the position to start to pay back some of this TRO sooner or later, but not this year. For retail business, I will go to Roberto.
We've seen some increases in the cost of risk for retail Italy, which is due mainly to SME and small business, that shown, especially in the last 2 months, both deterioration within the already classified files, as well as some new inflows due to the worsened economic condition. On the other side, instead, the development of consumer finance is completely in line with expectations, and the mortgage book is now absolutely stabilized.
The next question is from Mr. Domenico Vinci of Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon. A couple of questions. One on the outlook. As you show in your numbers, you are clearly well on track on your business plan. Unfortunately, the Italian macro seems to have deteriorated quite significantly since you presented the business plan. And when I look at the GDP expectations for 2012, for example, the Bank of Italy ones are below your plan, and also the Euribor level now is below 1%, and you, I think, included an estimate of 1.3. So I wonder what kind of impact, or negative impact, do you expect on the profitability of the group? I'm not referring at the provision line, that is, I think, everyone guessed, but to the top line. And also, are there any significant tactical adjustments that you're planning to bring to the plan to compensate for this? And just a curiosity on cost, you mentioned the new labor national contract that is less strict. If I remember well, you were including in the plan a sort of 2% inertial growth in the wage cost. What is in your new assumption if it's significantly lower than that? Thanks a lot.
Yeah, you are completely right. I think the outlook in the GDP expectation is worse compared to our plan. Difficult to say how much. For me, would not be important in itself if this quarter, next quarter will be negative, but it would be important to see if we have a recovery or not in the second half of the year. But my question for customers is that they can resist if it's short. Obviously, if it will be longer, it will be an issue. But in our case, let's say from one side, yes, we can have some negative impact, especially, I would say, cost of risk, coming from this deteriorated scenario, not in terms of revenues, because we have been extremely conservative. We had basically indicated a flat growth in Italy in 2013, so we can, I don't think, we don't need to review the target here at all. The potential impact on cost of risk will be, in any case, compensated by additional efforts in terms of costs that we are already doing, plus a cost of funding that is definitely lower than what we have put in our plan, at least from what we can see today. The also here is difficult to predict, but if we project the cost of funding we see today versus what is in the plan, there is a significant, a good, let's say, improvement. So we don't feel yet at least the need to review our plan to the point that our budget is done in accordance with the plan. Wage cost substantially, maybe, I mean, it's too early to say here because formally still has to be signed the agreement, but the growth expected is substantially flat in the 12 and 13. It's a bit complicated because it includes also other criteria, but substantially is just above zero, and so the result, the improvement is quite significant.
Thank you.
The next question is from Ms. Francesca Tondi of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead, madam.
Hi, hello, good afternoon. I also have two or three questions. On the cost side, as you've just commented that you can flex those to perhaps offset the impact of a weaker macro, how much flexibility do you think you may have? Where that is going to come from? And ultimately, why not actually be generally more aggressive on cost? I know it's difficult, with a view to recover a little bit faster your profitability, which is still, you know, very low. As a second point, you seem to be doing well on loan repricing. I think this is a trend, especially in Italy, that is continuing. How far do you think you can go? How much have you done? How much have you got left? And thanks for the update also on the funding cost. That is actually not looking too bad. Can you give us an indication of how the total funding cost is increasing in terms of basis points so we can also compare that to the customer loan spread? And as a last question on Interbank, I understand the 30 billion increase, which is pretty much, you know, ECB money, but the underlying seems to be, in terms of the Interbank position, still seems to be increasing, whilst I remember at the time of the plan you indicated that you want to decrease that position. What are the moving parts and what we should expect there going forward? Thank you.
In terms of cost, as I said, here is a never-ending story, meaning we are really working day after day in order to improve the cost side. I give you a small example, but not so small. For example, in terms of traveling cost, we've reached now a 50% decrease versus 1 year ago. But at the end, it makes quite a significant contribution. So we are really looking on the two sides, cost cutting in itself simplification of the structure in order to create sustainability in this respect. And I can then ask Paolo to add some points here, Paolo Fiorentino. So it's an ongoing process and clearly we want to do better than what was our plan, if possible. Non-repricing is ongoing. I would say that in also replying to the previous question, in this phase, the decline of Euribor partially and the spread partially is helping in the sense that we try to resist with the price on the loan side, creating some better return for the group. So the tendency of the Euro Libor, that is in a declining side. And most important for us, at least in Italy, the cost of funding is linked to the government spread, even though it's declining partially, at least in a short run, is helping. So we have a less cost of funding. We try to stay up in terms of cost of loans. Also because I think that in Italy one of the major problems has been all the time to price loans accordingly to risk, so it's important to maintain positions.
Do you see that
on the loan repricing. I think that, I'm going to state the obvious, but on the short-term and overdraft loans, we have actually repriced quite aggressively. If you look at Italy, we have repriced the loans by, on average in the last quarter by 40 to 50 basis points, basically. Clearly, on the long-term loans, we can only reprice when the loans mature, and there we have quite a substantial volume of loans to be repriced. If you look at Italy, we have more or less 25 billion or 26 billion of overdraft and short-term, while we have 40 billion of medium-term loans. So the repricing is still ahead of us, while we still have, today, quite good success on the short-term side. It's the same in Austria, basically, and we have been able as well to keep our margin on the deposit side. So it's not only repricing on the loan side, but it's also to keep the margin on the deposit side. So we have a positive flow to a certain extent right now in the various countries. It's slightly less effect in Germany because there is a little bit more competitive banking environment, but then we benefit from a quite favorable funding rate.
That's very clear. Thank you. Just one follow-up in Italy. Do you see any change in behavior by the banks now that they have taken cheap liquidity with LTRO and becoming, again, a little bit more, competitive on the lending price, or generally everybody's trying to reprice and be more sensible?
But my impression, maybe then Roberto can add something, is that for some banks, let's say LTRO is substantially a reserve to be utilized when wholesale funding maturity will come. So they are still conservative on the lending side. In any case, what I can see is that until end of January, mid-February, we have not seen so much growth on the lending side. Again, less demand, poor demand, and also banks quite reluctant. We start to see more volumes in March, still low, but more than before. We don't see too much in terms of long-term investment loans. And Roberto can add something.
Yeah, no, I can just confirm that on the market, after that, in the last months of 2011, the actual stock of total loans has gone down in Italy for the banking system as a whole. In the last 2-3 months, they have not seen any aggressive return by any banks. In fact, also one has to say that in the first 2 months of the year, the demand for lending has been subdued especially in the investment part, while there's a little bit more demand in the working capital part.
Maybe on the cost base, a few words. As Federico said before, splitting HR costs versus other costs, and HR costs, we discussed about the contract renewal impact. On top of that, in order to manage the potential redundancies that in any case we keep in our plan, we already identified 2,000 job positions that we outsourced in the past. So we have three ways of project in which we insource back this activity in order to implement activities for our internal employees that will free up from other positions, namely corporate center and network in Italy. While on non-HR costs, as you know, the main legacy that we have is real estate costs. We have 1.2 billion of real estate costs, for which we have two different projects. One is mainly focused on corporate centers in different locations, starting from Milan. As you know, we have this project called Garibaldi. Just Garibaldi, starting from 2013, we create for us 22 million of savings on running basis. And we have similar projects also in Munich, in the main Hamburg, in the main location in Europe. On IT, vice versa, we want to invest. For this year, we have 530 million of additional investment in IT. That clearly, for us, is crucial in order to leverage additional synergies in the network to implement more and more our multi-channel solution. That is one of the drivers in order to free up people from the network and also to free up space from our real estate locations.
For Interbank, maybe Marina can comment because it's quite important and the number that is in the presentation seems misleading. So,
looking at Italy, since June, due to the sovereign crisis, the net short-term spending funding decreased materially, so dropped by 35 billion approximately, and this funding has been replaced mainly by ECB financing. So we have already commented about the amount, almost 40 billion at the end of the year, and this is impacting the deterioration of the net bank, net interbank position. This is the main dynamics you see on the chart about interbank. You are asking also about cost of funding. I think that if you look at page 12 of the presentation, here you can see the cost of funding, the main balance is customer deposits, and the level and the dynamics proves that we would manage to keep under control the cost of funding, and also in the recent weeks we see we have not experienced a different trend.
Thank you for that. Follow up on the interbank. What I was saying is the interbank position has gone from minus 41 to minus 75. Well, that increase, 30 billion is the ECB, but it would seem that the underlying, excluding the ECB from the end of 2011, is still slightly going up, or put it that way, maybe not improving. Why is that?
I have to consider also 20 billion, more or less. So if you take 25, minus 30 is 45. Then we have more or less 20 billion in Austria. In reality, it's not interbank. Substantially, we are a kind of a broker between government agencies that are subsidizing export companies. We take the money and we give the money without even taking a credit risk. The lag between us and the agency is booked on interbank. And it's more or less 20 billion, if I remember correctly.
Thanks.
The next question is from Mr. Ronnie Rain of KBW. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon. A few questions for me as well. First, the NII in Germany was pretty weak this quarter. I just wondered what the impact of more like a trading-oriented item was, or whether there's a real underlying margin pressure. Secondly, the AFS result didn't quite improve yet as of year-end. How much of the improvement have you seen year-to-date? And maybe also a little comment on the trading in general, how has this been going? And then on Eastern Europe, just a little update in terms of volume outlook and the asset quality trends that you have in mind for 2012. And in particular on Russia, we've seen quite significant margin pressure there. And just want to get some thoughts, where this is coming from. And that's it. Thank you.
Well, it's more generally my comments on the financing and advisory side, where we see a decrease this quarter compared to the previous quarter. We have seen a certain number of impacts which have been which are non-recurring to a certain extent, plus one which is the higher cost of funding, which has an impact on the financing and advisory for the quarter for around 20 million. So that will be recurrent specifically in the coming quarter. So aside of that, for the SME side, the drop in revenue that we have seen of 115 million euros is coming from the Frontside consolidation, where Frontside or Frontside shareholding is actually included into SME. So we have seen a negative impact of around 60 million. We have had the consolidation as well of an SPV on extra financing, which is explaining 11 million more or less. And some other one-off that we had in the previous quarter, a specific one-off on the restructuring of the loan for 11 million. So all in all, when we take into account all these values impact, we have a decrease of the FNA size. But we expect the long-term impact to be more on 20 to 25 million euros because of the higher cost of funding going forward.
Okay, clear.
The next question is...
So there was a question about trading. How is it going?
Okay, on the trading side, well, it's too early to comment about the first quarter because it's still not finished. But I think that clearly a more positive environment in terms of liquidity and narrowing spreads mean that the results on the trading side for the first quarter will be better than in the fourth quarter. And I would say not very dissimilar to what we have seen last year.
Okay. And on the AFS reserve, I remember in Taste that told us that they had like a billion year-to-date improvement. How much have you seen?
Is 1.1 billion, if I remember. Yes, 1.1.
Okay, 1.1 billion. Okay, and then on Eastern Europe, just an outlook in terms of...
Yes, on CE, we have, after that, we saw a 9% increase in total lending in the course of 2011. The first 2 months have shown, but that's quite a tradition, relatively slow start, so the stock is currently flattish, but that was exactly what happened last year. We still are optimistic on seeing nice lending growth in the year. Russia, in terms of volume, has seen quite a good year, and all points in the direction of seeing also positive growth this year, behind the traditional good growth in corporate lending. We also saw positive improvement and dynamics in the mortgage portfolio, as well as in the car financing. In terms of margin pressure, we've seen some, but it's not something on which we expect to see net interest margins pressure in the course of 2012.
Okay. And in Russia, in any case, experience shows, at least in Eastern Europe, that you have to grow, but you have to grow up to a certain level, meaning we are very much focused on quality also, on EVA creation. We are hedging a position and we are too high in terms of exposure. So we pursue growth, but we want to be on the safe side. So
growing is too much, especially in this region, and the Russia included.
Okay, clear. I mean, the margins, just when you say flat from, or no further pressure, I mean, on my estimate here, you have like, you've dropped almost a full percentage point of net interest margin in the quarter when I calculate against loans, running now at something like 4.4% in Russia. Is that a new run rate, or should we see an increase again?
2%, once again, is your estimate of the fourth quarter over third quarter net interest margin erosion.
Yes, I mean, it's quite, the NII dropped like 14% in the quarter, in euro terms, also underlying, and, you know, it's quite a big margin pressure, 1% in one quarter is a lot.
Look, I think it's better if we look at our numbers and then we give you a more precise question, because we don't find ourselves in your analysis. Maybe the effects can play something.
Okay.
So we don't think to have this big drop. Anyway, I will ask Simone Concetti to give you a call.
There should be an effect, yeah, because in constant terms we have different numbers.
Okay, constant term is quite stable. Yes.
Okay, let's check this out. Thank you.
The next question.
The numbers now are quite okay. Okay, sorry.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from Mr. Pedro Fonesca of Berenberg Bank. Excuse me. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi. Just a question on the loan loss coverage, which has gone down this quarter at a stage where some of your competition is raising coverage and economic outlook has deteriorated. Just like some idea. If we expect the coverage to go up next coming quarters or to come down further?
Well, I will maybe ask more details from Calvo. The increase this quarter, as I said, has been generated by 1.6 more or less write-off that we had. Without this, it would have been higher by 117 basis points. Therefore, because in this quarter we should go back to normality in terms of write-off, I'm expecting the coverage certainly to not decrease, possibly to increase. Something more.
Okay.
Can't go on, you have a risk.
Not a whole lot more, but except that, you know, when you have provisions and you write off in general, the number goes down, so it's just a mathematical.
So it's just the write-off, okay.
Provisions. This quarter has been very consistent with the last few quarters. So no change in policy. It's just if you have provisions, you write it off, it goes down. That's it.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Mr. Alberto Cordara of Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good afternoon. The first question is on deposits. I think that I see a good trend in rebound. Deposits from customers move from 392 billion in Q3 to 398. So I just wanted to have a bit more of a background to what happened there, if it is related to repos or if it is related to real clients that are coming back to the bank. And where did you see this pickup in customer deposits? The second question relates to the cost of credit in Italy, which in my view is the main issue that you need to solve to get back to good earnings. You mentioned that there has been a write-off in the quarter. I don't know if you can give us an idea of how much of the domestic loan book you have been written off since the outset of the crisis. And then also the other question is, how long do you think it will take you to get in line with domestic peers in terms of cost of credit? Thank you.
In terms of deposits, we have increased in the fourth quarter sight deposit by 5.9 billion. And it goes up to 7.8 billion, including CDs, certificate of deposit. That was so that the growth is mostly entirely coming from real customers. In terms of
domestic loan books, how much has been write-off? I don't know if I have a number because I don't remember. So maybe we check, we reply to the last question in the meantime. How long it will take to go to the level of peers. Again, in our plan, we envisage to reach 83 basis points in Italy at the end of 2015 and 75 at the group level, so 83 in Italy. As you know, we start from a pretty high level, and still we believe that in spite of the fact that the cost of risk may be under pressure this year, due to the fact that we come from a higher level, we can reach the target of 83 that will put us substantially in line with peers. Then I don't know what will be the trend with peers, but in our original assumption, strategic plan, we were supposed to reach this level at the end of the plan.
Thank you.
The next question is from Mr. Andrea Filtri of Mediobanca. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, thank you. I've got four quick questions. Capital strength, runoff, government bonds and business plan. On capital, now that you find yourself with a strong capital position, what do you do if you find yourself with an even stronger than expected capital position, and how does this element change the way you can run the bank? Second question is on the runoff. You have had faster than expected runoff in the CIB risk-weighted assets in Q4. Is this on top of the target you had, or is this an acceleration of the same plan of the part of the plan? On the government bonds, you have, if I'm not mistaken, around 27 billion government bonds maturing this year. What will you do with that, and what impact do you expect that will have on your P&L? And finally, business plan. If you had to say, of the actions of the plan, which ones are we likely to see impacting the business sooner and which ones later? If you could basically give us a temporary split between those actions. Thank you.
Well, on the capital side, I am now very, very, let's say, cautious because with the trend we have seen in the regulators in the last few years, it's difficult to imagine to have excess of capital anyway. We are in a good position now. Should we have more capital than expected, what I can imagine at the end of the day can be two situations. One is to see if part of this, well, we can increase substantially dividends versus what was the original plan. As you remember, we were planning to distribute average 40% more or less of the profitability generated with additional capital. Eventually, the dividend can increase. Second, we have to, even with the limitation in Europe today of capital allocation, it's clear that if we have some excess of capital, especially in a good market, then I also consider to invest more. So we'll see case by case, but I see these two actions as a potential cases should the capital be more than expected, higher than expected. On government bonds, we have a total in the portfolio of 37 billion. So if I'm, the what is expiring this year, it should be 13 billion, or 12 billion. So
not only speaking of Italian bonds.
Yeah. We have a 37 billion of Italian bonds.
We're talking about the portfolio, not only Italian bonds.
The total portfolio. So we have, again, let's check the number. Because we have, in total, we have 90 billion of portfolio, mostly Italian, 37, and then Germany. On the German side, it's purely, let's say, liquidity. So you get, you invest in bonds in order to have eligible asset for ECB. So no major difference, I think, compared to the situation of today. In Italy, it makes some difference because what is going to expire is coming with an yield that is definitely lower compared to what you can get today. So on the 12 billion expiring for Italy, we will have good benefit in terms of net interest income. For the runoff, Jean-Pierre can say something.
Well, maybe some explanation about the evolution of the risk-weighted assets on the CIB side for the fourth quarter. We started from 186 billion at the end of September and we ended up at 196, so an increase of 10 billion, which was impacted as well by the change of CRBs, the implementation of CRB3 by 17 billion, so which means that we decreased our risk-weighted assets over the quarter by 7 billion. The 7 billion are split between outright reduction of our exposure and some specific action in terms of fallout of models. So in terms of outright reduction, we had 3.2 billion of reduction, so which is 4 billion of our ring-fence portfolio, which has been front-loaded and a slight exposure on the client side. We had 1 billion of data quality action, to basically make sure that the ratings are up to date and that we can take the full benefit of the regulatory environment. 2 billion of rollout of new models and a reduction of 1.5 billion of the counterparty risk, so in terms of exposure on the derivative side. So that explains the overall evolution. Of course, for the ring-fence portfolio, and we will keep working on the reduction. Part of it will come from the natural evolution of our loan. We accept if we have a very good price, and I doubt that it would be the case. I mean, we will let our loan run off, basically naturally, and on some of our market activities, we'll take more proactive actions whenever we can.
About the business plan, I would say that considering the overall environment we have today, for sure in Western Europe, acceleration on cost management is a priority. In Italy, remains a big priority the cost of risk for year, I'm intending improving our effectiveness on the restructuring and recovery, where we have a space for improvement. So it's not origination itself. Staying with Italy, CIB Italy, in my opinion, shows big space for improvement in terms of revenues. I think here we have now a very good integration between corporate business and investment banking business we never got in the past, with a dedicated, fully integrated channel here. CE, as I said, thanks God, keeps growing. First 2 months of this year are definitely good budget, and so is business as usual, but in a good trend.
The next question is from Mr. Ignacio Cerezo of Credit Suisse. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hello. I had a couple of questions. One is a follow-up on the net interest income in Italy. I just wanted to clarify and understand whether there is something extraordinary this quarter. I mean, obviously I've seen the positive asset repricing and the moderate increase of the funding costs, but I wanted to know whether there is something else this quarter and whether the 1.9 billion for the total Italian business is the run rate for the future. And the second is quicker in terms of capital, if you have any additional asset and liability management exercises you can do. Thank you.
So you mean this quarter, you mean 2012?
Yeah, I mean the net interest income of Italy is there's the run rate, yeah.
Rather than Italy, at the group level that we have this quarter the benefit of the buyback of Tier 1 and Tier 2 is an equivalent of 670 million euros gross. The net should be about 450 million euros. Other exceptional items that this quarter we should not get. So a one-off, no. So say nothing specific. So except the buyback.
No, I think question was not clear. I was referring actually to the net interest income in the quarter in Q4 in Italy. That was a significant increase. Most of it is based on the asset replacement capabilities. If there was something else in terms of treasury or other balance sheet lines within Italy that have been boosting that number in Q4.
I would say we don't have any specific particular item in the fourth quarter for Italy. And the other revenues that are not net interest, other revenues, we have a negative effect. 52 million is the per quarter loss for the Fonsai stake, but it's not in net interest income. So it's quite an ordinary quarter, I'd say.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Ms. Anke Rengin of Royal Bank of Canada. Please go ahead, madam.
Good afternoon. I'm Anke from RBC. I just had a few follow-up questions. Firstly, on the funding question.
Can you speak louder, please?
I'll try. Firstly, on the funding cost benefit from the LTRO, is it as simple as using, and you say there's about 18 billion maturing debt in Italy this year, and if I were to just assume the 3.8 billion wholesale funding, 3.8% wholesale funding cost minus the cost of the LTRO, that would lead me to an about 500 million funding benefit from you using the LTRO. Then secondly, did I understand your comment correctly? So you're basically aiming to keep your Italian sovereign bond portfolio at around 37 billion. And then just lastly, your comment on the restructuring, does this basically mean the remaining restructuring charges from the business plan will not be coming in 2012? Thank you.
On the LTRO usage and the impact of our P&L, the LTRO is not going to replace the wholesale funding, so unfortunately we can't replace the cost of long-term funding with the cost of LTRO. The cost, as already pointed out before, suffered a significant drop in short-term funding and secured funding, CDCPs and interbank, amounting to 35 billion, and we have replaced these drops. Therefore, we should compare the cost of the short-term funding versus the LTRO cost, and not versus the long-term funding.
Okay.
On the sovereign, as I said at the beginning, we're 37 billion right now in Italy. We may see some movement, 10% more or less, but in any case, short term, so 3 years eventually maturity, something like this. Again, it's questionable if you wish, but we prefer to have a conservative approach rather than taking positions long-term in sovereign bonds funded with short-term maturities. So this is our approach, to be conservative and not carry trade in a massive way, at least. Some of restructuring, when I say restructuring, what means? It means that we have still let's say problems in the portfolio pending. When we look to our portfolio, especially for the large exposure, they are all identified and well known. What we mean for restructuring is starting from the portfolio in bonis, so not yet watch list or impaired, in bonis, and we have just activated, for example, in Italy in these weeks, what we call a special situation approach. So we have divided substantially the network that covers the portfolio in bonis between rating of customers. So we have a cluster of customer with good rating, up to 5-6, if I remember, and second cluster with worse rating. Here we have a dedicated relationship manager, fully focused on reducing this exposure or improving, let's say, the quality of the exposure through through collaterals and defense staff. Then there is also the normal restructuring action ongoing, mostly for small positions rather than large positions. So is there, is in these two areas that we think will have a benefit in terms of cost of risk. One, when we look to the bonus, portfolio bonus is to avoid rapid deterioration, so to be preemptive, let's say. When we look to the watch list portfolio, is to accelerate the restructuring for the smaller customers. So that's the two areas where we see more space for good results.
Thank you. I appreciate your answers, but I actually meant integration costs as in restructuring charges. So should we expect them for 2012?
Integration costs, as I said, the integration costs were mostly related to the reduction of FTE. And basically, we will not have integration costs in 2012 and 2013 because the problem has been postponed a couple of years at the end of the day.
Thank you.
So we had something in the fourth quarter. It was in total 2011, third and fourth quarter, 160 million, but much less than expected.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Mr. Domenico Ghilotti of Equita SIM. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Actually, it's Matteo. Just three questions. The first one is about the loan loss provisions in the CIB sector in Italy, which were down quite sharply. Can you give us an idea of the one-off items that had a positive impact here and what could be a run rate in this division in Italy in 2012? The second question is on the, let's say, first couple of months, almost 3 months of 2012. I'm not asking a comment on trading. You already said that the trading was good. I'm asking more a question on the commercial activity. If you can give us some color about the commercial activity of the group in the first month of 2012. And finally, a question on net interest income in 2012, because we know that there are many forces working in let's say in a different way, pushing up the net interest income or down. Can you give us an idea if 4-5% growth in net interest income in 2012 is something crazy or achievable from your point of view? Thank you.
We start with CIB.
Yeah, on the loan loss provision for Italy, actually we have a lower level in the fourth quarter, so 158 million compared to a much higher level of around 760 on the third quarter. So, I mean, part of the impact of the low provision in the fourth quarter is actually due to, I mean, the high level of the third quarter. But we had as well a decrease from the previous quarter, everything being equal, if I may say, because we had a reduction of inflow from performing. So that's a slight reduction, but at the same time, I expect the level of loan loss provision for, I mean, the first quarter to be more around a normalized level rather than the level we had on the fourth quarter, basically. To be noted, because it has been a slight change, discontinuity for Germany, the question might come in. We have on the CIB side a slightly higher level of provision in Germany for the fourth quarter, which actually are higher than in Italy, so that's to be noted, but mostly because of requalification of provision which was in the risk and charge and which has been moved up to the loan loss provision. So it does not show that we have a deterioration of our credit in Germany. It has been more a technical impact, basically, and we should go back to normality, if I may say, for the first quarter.
Regarding 2012, well, if I look than commercial activities, I would say. For Central Eastern Europe, the numbers are good. As I said, slightly better than expected, so quite good. Western Europe, we have seen January pretty weak for different reasons. I think it was a reaction of the sovereign crisis. And for Italy, we had also the network pretty much focused on the right issue. So people were working a lot on that. It's improving in February. I have not seen the number in March. The feeling, talking with people, in that March should be slightly better than February. So the trend is seems to be positive. Overall, it seems to be slightly better than before. On net interest income, look, I'm not commenting because I want to be sure that we have a sustainable number before making any comment.
Thank you.
The next question is from Mr. Antonio Rizzo of Barclays Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi there. Only a few questions remaining from my side. On asset quality, I understand your view on asset quality going forward, but could you give us an indication of what is the stock of sofferenza in Italy and the coverage? Second, on PPA, you reported 92 million in Q4. That's much higher than previous quarter. Is this your run rate going forward? Third question, looking at your divisional, the corporate center looks still pretty heavy. I'm wondering if you would expect some improvement going forward.
Yeah. You're commenting on asset quality.
Sofferenza in Italy, it's about 27 billion, which is roughly 47% of the overall amount that we have on the impaired. And if you're looking at the coverage in its entirety, in total, it's about 74% on average.
Any recovery ratio?
Sorry?
There was also a question about recovery ratio, by the way.
The recovery ratio is nearly always a function of the of time value and write back. In and of itself, it varies through the cycle. So it depends on quarter. There is single large recovery that will be beneficial to a large extent. But, you know, the numbers that we give you are always the net numbers, because unless you go into the detail and decompose the numbers, it's very, very difficult to give you a specific number which you'll be able to put into a spreadsheet and get an answer.
Good. In terms of PPA, Marina will reply.
On PPA, so due to the effect of the amortization of related to deposits ended in 2011, coherently with the deposits maturity, which was estimated at the time of HB acquisition, we are going to see a different pace in the next few years in terms of PPA, and this PPA, now you have seen in the quarter the 90, almost 90 million, you can't use it as a run rate for a quarter. I would say lower than this level for the quarter, significantly lower, I would say half of this level.
On the corporate center, basically, we have two major costs. One is the real cost, so how much heavy is the corporate center, and here we have if you remember, the plan in terms of number of people was to reduce more or less 20% the number of people working in corporate centers, the so-called competence line, mostly. There is an additional reorganization that has not yet been announced, almost ready, whereby we see ideally an holding, shrinking in terms of weight, once again, delegating more responsibility to countries, avoiding also some overlapping and duplication of activities. And the other big cost is on the cost of funding, especially for the holding that, as we discussed already, hopefully will be lower than expected in 2012 because of the trend that it was playing.
The next question is from Mr. Andrea Vercellone of Exane. Please go ahead, sir.
Good evening. Just two questions and one curiosity. The first question is on costs. I'd like for you to detail what was the one-off in personnel expenses in Q4, since you mentioned it qualitatively but you don't quantify it. Also, could you give us some color on the number of employees that you expect to exit the group, through turnover or prior agreements between now and 2013, since my understanding from the answer of the previous question is that you are not probably going to sign a new agreement covering the next 2 years. Also on costs, if you could quantify how much was the Austrian bank levy in 2011, and how much we should expect for 2012 in terms of bank levies in Austria and other CE countries, given that there's a number of other countries which are introducing it and is going up in Austria. I like to keep the German one separate. Then the second question is on Basel III. Now that the impact of the RWAs related to Basel II is behind, could you just give us an update on what will be the impact next year on the RWA side related to Basel III? And then the curiosity is out of the ECB funding, is it all drawn from Italy or there's some of it which has been drawn from Germany and Austria? Thank you.
So I will start with the curiosity. It is as we said, we forgetting the 3-4 billion, it is a short term, so 1 week, etc. The 26 billion is 23 for Italy and 3 billion basically for Austria. And there is a very small amount for Slovakia, but substantially most is Italy and 2-3 billion is Austria. Nothing for Germany on 3 years term. About curiosity, there was another point.
No, the curiosity was just
about this one. Okay. No, about bank levies this year has been 268 million in total. Austria was 124 this year. We have now this issue. It's not yet clear to me yet, because I was in Austria a couple of weeks ago discussing also with regulators what would be the effect coming from the need to save Wolfs Bank. We'll see what will be the real effect. I think anyway that if we are paying at 168 million this year, I'm not expecting if there's an increase, a huge increase to the point that can jeopardize our budget, I think. But it's too early to say. Also for Austria, from Bank of Austria, we don't have clear indication in this respect. Basel III impact, maybe Marina can... Let's look at the numbers.
In terms of risk-weighted assets, still refers to account for all the other Basel III overall impact, and this is going to have an impact in terms of risk-weighted assets 30 billion approximately, slightly below 30 billion, and this will be only risk-weighted assets, so I have to take into account also the other deduction and the other elements which are going to impact the equity.
Sorry, in this 30 billion, do you also include the DTAs and deduction for and the amount of DTAs and holdings in financial companies above the cap, or this is just related to market risk CVAs
yes.
and so on?
Yes, we take into account.
It's the full amount.
Yes.
Regarding the first point you said about the turnover in Italy, reduction of people, etc. So we have still for 2012 and 2013 agreed with unions 1,800 people that will go out. This is an agreement of October 10. In terms of turnover, as you know, in Italy it's pretty low. In case we have 500 people per year, so substantially, potentially another 1,000 that will leave between 2012 and 2013.
Okay. And the one-off from personal expenses in Q4?
One-off?
HR will bring. Yes, the one-off are related to release of 50 million on accrual related to the contract renewal because it was not providing any expenses for 2011, plus the release of provision on variable compensation.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from Mr. Pierre Passarone of Intermonte. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon. Three quick questions. The first one is just to have an update, if possible, on the amount the available for sale reserve as of today. I presume it's coming down from 1.7 at the end of 2011. Second one is on tax rate, which according to your fourth quarter results and also looking at what other banks are disclosing, it seems that taxes are going up. So my question is, shall we assume that the fourth quarter tax rate is a run rate also going forward, or there are chances to keep such a rate below 40%, excluding extraordinary items that we don't know at this stage? Third question has been already partially answered, has to do with the RWI decline. If I'm not wrong, the amount expected to decline, to increase in terms of RWA was 34 billion, according to the CRD 3. So I guess this amount is wrong, and the real one is the 20 billion that you have disclosed with this set of results, or there is an extra 14 billion increase in RWA due to the implementation of the CRD 3. Thank you.
On the available for sale reserve, which is accounted for the time being in our capital for equity for the purpose of regulatory filing, it's was December 2.4 billion or 2.5 billion approximately, and as already stated, basically the equity improved by approximately 1.1 billion during the last few months as a result of tightening of the spreads, which improved the
reserve. On the tax rate, I think we should not go over 40%. This should be quite an exceptional level. In any case, I'm not expecting a particular changes in this respect. We are checking, but it should be below 40. And risk-weighted asset,
on the CRD3, just the impact was, as I mentioned, 17 billion, because we managed to mitigate some of the impact during the year. So the final impact as communicated is 17 billion and there's nothing else which will come on top of that. So that's it, and that's the final number.
Okay, that's the net final number. The gross one was 20, and as Marina stated before, the additional increase for the full implementation of Basel III is below 30 billion. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry, unfortunately it's a bit late, so if you don't mind, there is the next one, and we have to close after the next question.
Yes, madam. The last question is from Ms. Anna Benassi of Kepler. Please go ahead, madam.
Yeah, good afternoon. By the way, most of my questions have been already asked, so I'm left just on your...
Anna, non ti sentiamo. Sorry, Anna,
hello?
We can't hear you.
Hello?
You
yeah,
okay, better now.
Okay. Most of my questions have been asked already. So my question regards your commitment to Italian loans or loans to Italians. You are down 2.8% Q on Q, both on retail and corporate, and you just mentioned the ECB funds are not going to be used much on govies, whatever regions, but on good lending. Where this lending you think will be done, in what country? And the second comment I asked for is the trend of commissions, considering the several changes in regulation and taxation, particularly in Italy, but low demand, I guess, all across Europe. Thank you.
Regarding the commitment to lend in Italy, we have publicly announced recently in the days that in the next 3 years we are prepared to lend approximately 40 billion for medium-sized and small companies, so SMEs, and 35 billion for families next 3 years. And clearly, on the other side, we are also reviewing every day our portfolio. We have some position from where we want to decrease or even leave customers if possible. On top, on the larger companies, we are now pushing more on alternatives to lending. For example, we have been very active recently on the bond issue, and we are very carefully managing risk-weighted assets. So, in terms of capital and liquidity, there is an intention to lend. As I said, the 70 billion has been publicly announced, but this doesn't mean that we will have an increase of 70 billion on our stock. Obviously, we'll see what will be the decrease coming from policy and quality as well. On the commission side, he's more expert than me on the regulation. Roberto will give, because he's dealing inside the Italian Banking Association about this point. Obviously, it's an environment in Italy very confused in this moment. I think, anyway, the banks, in general terms, have to be conscious that we will have the risk of some administrative cost imposed in some way. And so we need to work more and more on efficiency and I think on cost reduction, especially when we talk about the network fixed cost. But maybe Roberto can comment more.
The regulation is clearly something we are monitoring with a lot of attention. There have been two recent new regulations that could have an impact. One is the, at the moment, avoided threat of eliminating all kind of conditions on lending. On that one, a decree has been introduced last week by the government. We understand that all political forces understand that it would be very, very negative, not only for banks, but for the real economy, for companies, and on top of that it would generate a huge decrease in the taxation income for the finance ministry. So we reasonably expect such threat not to come. Then there is the issue regarding the provision of free current account banking to retired persons. Also there's going to be a detailed discussion between the Banking Association and the Finance Ministry. We don't expect the additional cost coming from that to exceed the benefits coming from having non-physical intake of the pension. So overall, we feel neutral about the impact of these regulations.
Okay, thank you very much, and see you in 3 months' time. Thank you.